another edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money here on another lovely Wednesday evening, right here in the heart of Wailuku Town on the beautiful island of Maui in the great state of Hawaii. And yes, it's me, G Money. And boy, oh boy, what a show we got for you tonight. We're gonna talk about Eternals. We got to talk about new comic books. We got all kinds of stuff going on, so make sure you guys stay tuned. Lots of info on the way. But first, let me introduce the crew. First off, he is the producer, Seducer. He is also the man who is known for shooting his mouth off when he shouldn't, but that's okay. We still dig him a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Kai Kai. How's it going, Kai? Kai, come in over. Am I the only one here? Where the heck is Kai? Oh, man. Unbelievable. I'm sure he'll be back very, very shortly. I don't know where the heck he went to. Kai, come in over. Come in over. All right, anyway, listen, we'll get back to him momentarily. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, of course, as you know, was the premiere of a brand new Marvel movie. Not only that, I think it's also the start of a brand new Marvel era. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm not sure what else is going on. Joel says maybe you're pooping. It is possible that he is pooping. Who knows? We shall see. Anyway, I want to let you guys know, of course, you guys can hit us up on the on all the social media platforms. You can get us at facebook.com/nerdwatch, on YouTube at Nerdwatch Nation, on Instagram at the_nerdwatch, and of course you can watch us live on Twitch as well at Nerdwatch 808. That's Nerdwatch 808. All right, so boy oh boy, what a day. We're going to talk about, like I said, Eternals is coming up, new comic book lists coming up as well, and we'll see exactly what is going on in the world of comic books and any kind of nerd news we have today. So this is going to be pretty sweet. Anyway, of course, like I said, you guys can follow us on all those platforms. And on top of that, if you could please, if you would be so kind as to smash the like button, as they say, or I just want to say, just click it. Follow us, subscribe to us on any one of those three platforms. It would be greatly appreciated. We would love for you guys to do that for us. And let's get right to it, shall we? Let's get into some comic books and find out what's new this week in the world of the comic books. Well, boys and girls, coming out today in comic books. If you're gonna pick up a new comic book list, it's every single Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday. You can check it out at, if you live on Maui, Maui Comics and Collectibles, right in the heart of Wailuku Town. You are not going to want to miss out on them. They are, of course, located in Request Music. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles. Let's get right to it. First off, The Amazing Spider-Man number 78 comes out today from Marvel Comics. Also from DC Comics, Action Comics 1036. Also coming out today is DC Comics is Wonder Woman 781. That's coming out today as well. Also coming out today is, I guess, a new edition of Venom. Venom number one is out today. Let me give you a little synopsis. An epic new era for the Sinister Symbiote starts here. Hot off the heels of Venom 200 and Extreme Carnage, we're closing out 2021 with one of the most ambitious books in symbiote history. An all-new Venom from some of the comic's greatest talents. Marvel mainstay Al Ewing, who himself has just ended a career redefining run on Immortal Hulk, is being joined by Ram V, a horror maestro all his own, to craft a mind-bending and gut-wrenching tale of symbiosis, the likes of which the Marvel Universe has never seen. So you can check that out today. 52 pages. Venom number one out from Marvel Comics today. Super cool on that one. Also coming out today is The Joker number 9. Very cool cover, actually. I wish I could share some of these covers with you. It's pretty sweet. I actually can. but I won't. Anyway, so we can get through this faster. Also out today as well is Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 32. If you're interested in Miles Morales. Also from Marvel Comics, Star Wars The High Republic number 11 is out today as well. Also joining us today, hey, ladies and gentlemen, back, I hope. Kai, are you back?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what the frick happened?
So apparently StreamYard does not like cell phone.
Yeah.
So I had to go do some finagling, but I got to get on a PC.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm here.
Good, and you sound good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get right to it, shall we? We're ass deep in the comic book list. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Ooh, you sound good. Now you sound much better than you did before. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you were wondering, that's Cobra Kai, since he didn't answer me before, since I introduced him like a dingy. Anyway.
Hey, my stuff fell apart completely.
Oh, did it? Okay, fair enough.
Shut your mouth.
All right, don't get too close to the mic. Don't eat it. Also coming out today from Marvel Comics, Hellions number 17. Also coming out today from DC is Batman Urban Legends number 9. Also coming out today, apropos, of course, is Eternals number 7. Hail Thanos Part 1 is out today as well. Also coming out today is Alien number 8 from Marvel Comics, as in, you know, the alien from, you know, the H.R. Giger alien. We'll check that out as well. That looks pretty cool. Also coming out today is Strange Academy number 13. Robin and Batman. Wow. Robin and Batman number 1. Wow, that's interesting. The legendary story of Batman and Robin has reached nearly mythic proportions. The crime-fighting dynamic duo, always one step ahead of the criminals they pursue and never meeting a case too big. This isn't that story. This is a story of a young Dick Grayson, newly orphaned, struggling to find his way in a strange, difficult, dark, new world. This is the story of Robin and Batman, the best-selling creative team behind the Eisner-winning Descender. Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen reunite in Gotham City to tell the story of a remarkable young man learning to navigate an incredible new world. Interesting.
A new beginning?
Well, that's what it says, so I'm guessing so. Also out today is Savage Avengers number 26. Also, Batman the Imposter number 2. Also, one of Maui Comics' favorites is Undiscovered Country number 17. Is out today. Also coming out today is I Am Batman number 3. Future State Gotham number 7. Justice League Last Ride number 7. Harley Quinn, the animated series, The Eat, Bang, Kill Tour, number 3 is out today. Deadpool, Black, White, and Blood is out today as well. Also out today is from Dark Horse Comics is Maze Book, number 3. Also, Titans United, number 3 is out today as well. Also from Skybound is Stillwater, number 11. And very interesting comic from Image as well, called What's the Furthest Place from Here? Number 1 is out today. Also from Marvel Comics, The Thing, number 1 is out today. Also from Image Comics, A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, number 2 is out today. Also from Image Comics, Sea of Stars, number 11. Very interesting comic today as well, Superman versus Lobo from DC is out today. It's number 2. Okay. Also from Image Comics, Ordinary Gods, number 5. That's out today as well. And I think that about does it. There's a few more comics. I wanted to talk about... where was that one I wanted to... The Sumerian, Beyond the Black River, number 2. That's the Robert Howard comic book based kind of on Conan the Barbarian or that lore. So you can check that out as well, which looks super kind of cool, actually. And certainly last but not least, didn't know this even existed. Alika never talked about it. But Kiss, Phantom Obsession, number 3 is out today. And I mean as in Kiss the band. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, that is your comic book list for today. Make sure you guys check out those comic books online or at your local comic book shop. Our local comic book shop here in Maui is Maui Comics and Collectibles in the Request Music in Wailuku. Make sure you check them out. Great, great comics, great prices. Make sure you get in on the fun of reading comics and exploring the new worlds that have been laid out in some of those very cool comic books. Speaking of comic books, I've got an announcement to make. Not that there's an it's not a big announcement though. Well, it kind of is. It kind of is a big announcement. But I don't know if you guys know this. But as of now, from what I understand, because it's been on social media and some of you may have seen it, some of you not, it looks like Maui Comic-Con is back this December. Am I right about that, Kai?
Yep, December 11th through 12th.
December 11th through the 12th? Fantastic. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, be prepared for that. Maui Comics and Collectibles is putting on Maui Comic-Con 2021, December, is it 10th and 11th or is it 11th and 12th?
I only heard 11th to 12th, but I could be wrong.
11th and 12th. Okay, sounds good. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're very excited, I cannot believe it's back. Maui Comic-Con, December 11th and 12th. Is going to be a lot of fun. I will get you more details as they come along. Matter of fact, I believe they are doing meetings for that as we speak. So we get to talk to them about that a little later, but I get more details on that as well. So it's going to be very, very fun to take advantage of any information that we get here at the Nerd Watch. So I hope you guys are prepared if you live on Maui for Maui Comic-Con. Very cool guests. I don't want to give anything away that I can't give away, so I'm going to wait until I get the okay to give away any special guests or premier artists or premier writers that are coming to Maui Comic-Con this year. It's going to be very, very cool. For more information, go to Maui Comic-Con. Go to Maui Comics and Collectibles on Facebook, and then go to Maui Comic-Con on Instagram for all information needed, and just like and follow them as well. Anyway, Kai.
Yo.
So you and I, and even Format, we went to go watch a movie.
Yes, we did.
Did we not? Is that correct? All right.
Yes, we did.
What did we watch?
We watched Eternals.
We watched Marvel's Eternals. And, here's what I'm going to do, just because I'm curious about you. Eternals, as you know, this if you saw the trailers for the Eternals, it's a show, it's a movie in itself that basically is kind of redefining where the Marvel Universe, cinematic universe, is headed. Yeah. So, this is a new era. We're getting some new heroes to cheer for, and. Well, you know what? Let's see. Kai, what did you think? Now that you've seen The Eternals, what was your take on Marvel's new heroes based on the Jack Kirby comic classics, The Eternals?
Did we really need this? I mean, it was pretty bleh. I mean, I don't fault anyone who actually likes this. I mean... It was okay, but I feel like there were some parts of the movie that even the actors just made me feel like they weren't really into it.
Right.
I mean, there's some things where... You know what? In the whole scheme of this, I don't really care for this movie.
Well, you know, that's the kind of honest reviews I like to get. What didn't you like about it?
Why do we even need this movie? Why do we need this main characters when you could probably like cut half of the crew of these casts in half?
Right. That's an interesting question because ultimately, once again, we are trying to move on from, and I'm going to start calling it this from now on, we're moving on from Gen 1 Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Gen 1 is pretty much over, probably with the exception of Spider-Man, but that canon has been closed, right? So with Endgame, you know, Iron Man and Captain America, Black Widow, and all this other stuff, we're kind of closing the canon on those stories, with the exception, like I said, of just a couple of them. Hawkeye, which is one as well, yeah. And things of that yeah. nature. Now, they're trying to reshape the Marvel Universe with the Eternals, which I which I find quite interesting, because the Eternals, when it comes to the comic, has some very... The Jack Kirby comic was interesting in the respect of that in the comic... The Celestials, by the way, full spoilers for Eternals. We're going to do full spoilers. So if you haven't watched it, I don't know. But just a little forewarning. In the comic, the Eternals were made through, I guess you could say, scientific experiments from the Celestials, right? The Celestials yeah. are godlike beings in the cosmic Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. In the movie, they're robots, which I thought was weird take. You know what I mean? I thought that yeah. was that was a little strange. I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. I mean, obviously, as you know, like I said, if the Celestials are supposed to be the godlike figures that make these things and make the world go round, as they say, or the universe pumping, mm-hmm. that would mean that the Eternals are a symbol for angels. They
correct.
So they are stepping in as I don't want to say guardians, because that's not the term, but they are there Observers. To watch over and preserve the planet they have been assigned to. And in this case, the Eternals that we know are assigned to Earth. Now, I'm under the assumption in this universe there's probably a lot more Eternals on other planets or in other galaxies, watching over other worlds that have different aliens on them and such. You know what I mean? That's my take yeah. on it. But ultimately, let's get into let's kind of talk about the movie itself. I thought the movie was interesting, because the movie was very different. The movie was different for a Marvel film because, number one, it's directed by Chloe Zhao, who happens to be coming off of a Oscar win for her film Nomadland.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I think it was a bad choice to make Chloe Zhao do this movie.
Well, let me get into that first, because here's my take on it.
Okay.
Now, you want these big name directors on these Marvel films to get to give them legitimacy, maybe? Mm. You know what I'm saying? And in some respects, I understand that. But Chloe Zhao's sensibilities may not have been the right choice for a Marvel movie. But you don't know that unless you actually make the movie, right? So, yeah. So in that respect, this Marvel movie, and this is what I commend it for, and also its biggest downfall. I commend Eternals for trying to do something different in a Marvel film. This Marvel movie is very reflective. It's very introspective. It's very internal, as in interesting questions that are laid out that they ask. Like, what in the midst of what's happening? Right, the Eternals see that when the Eternals finally understand what the celestial godlike beings are doing, that they think essentially the Eternals have almost like they're conditioned to because they have been lording over the human race for centuries. They kind of it's as if they. And in the movie, they kind of explain this, like the longer they've gone on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years watching the Earth. And they found out, of course, that in the that they have become like them, that I guess the programmed AI that's in them has become like them, even though they are not actually human. But they can feel everything, and with the centuries of logic and knowledge that they have about the human race, they become more human, quote unquote, right? So, in this respect, when they find out ultimately, by the way, once again, spoilers, if anybody's listening that hasn't seen it yet, when the Eternals find out that the Celestials are essentially trying to make more Celestials, and using Earth as sort of like they're using Earth and other planets as wombs for the birth of these Celestials. You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because that's what they're doing. The Eternals in this film are that when they find that out, they don't believe that it's right for these Celestials to be sacrificing so many people just for one Celestial. Okay, that's kind of easy because they think that the human race, even with all the bad, there's so much good in it that they need to be saved. So, and that's what that's essentially what it is, right? And so what they're trying to do, more or less, is they're trying to stop what they call the emergence, where a new Celestial is born, and basically when the new Celestial is born from the planet's destroyed, right? That's what happens.
Yeah.
So essentially what they're trying to do, since the planet is basically a inference for a womb, at least I think so, is that they're trying to essentially abort the new Celestial. That's what they're trying to do, right? They're making sure that it doesn't come to term, and that it doesn't have a chance to live, right? Is my analogy correct?
In a sense, yes, but you don't have to go that far.
But that's essentially what it is. So what happens is that the people that have been, or excuse me, the Eternals that have been sent to Earth, all have different sets of powers, are now on this mission. Joel, kind of in some respects, you're absolutely right. Joel said, so you're saying they're killing God. In some respects, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get rid of or stop the notion of another supreme being being birthed at the sacrifice of the human race. That's what they're trying to. That's what I got from it, right? But of course, as you know, in the film, if you watch the movie, that the Celestials put their Celestial seed into thousands of planets, right? And Earth was chosen as one of the planets that the new Celestial would come from. Now, that doesn't mean it's just coming from Earth. There could be others across the galaxy, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, what we have here is a film that's trying to be a lot more introspective about decisions that are made. The Eternals themselves are based off of, in most respects, are based off of like the gods, the Greek gods, like Icarus and Athena and
Zeus
and Zeus and Gilgamesh and all these
things. Basically everyone.
Correct. So it has that feeling to it. And I got to tell you though, after thinking about it for as long as I have, because it's been a few days, it's almost been a week since I've watched this movie. Mm-hmm. I really think that there were some very interesting ideas that were not executed that weren't executed properly, in my opinion. I think that the Eternals was a concept in and of itself that they strayed so far away from the comic book that now, because of that, what they ended up doing was sacrificing a way in for mutants and the X-Men to come in. Because in the comic, the Celestials were essentially doing human experiments, or they were doing experiments on humans and crossbreeding other things with these humans. Yes, Major Gromp is absolutely right. Thank you for joining us, Major Gromp. So more of Star-Lord's dad? In some respects, yes, because Star-Lord's dad is a Celestial, and he said that in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So
wait. If we look at Star-Lord's dad as a Celestial, that means he's stuck inside a womb.
Well, that in some respects, yes, but remember that that's not what happened with him. He literally says he was a planet. Remember?
I know.
He's ego.
But he never merged.
Correct. So what essentially is happening with Eternals is that it's weird that they're trying to make a connection with certain elements of the Marvel Universe, but leaving a couple of cool things out that could possibly mean seeing other potential new Marvel characters that we'd like to see? I mean, the fact that they're robots instead of actually hybrid humans means that now, where does the X-Men come from? Are we going to use? I mean, are we going to use the X-Men? Is that going to happen? Are we going to use mutants? I don't know.
Well, calm down. Calm down. First of all, I don't think you can bring in the X-Men in this, given the fact that where would you start playing the mutant card now, given that, how far?
That's what I'm trying to say, because their perfect in was with the Eternals. That's where you got your mutants from, because they had been making...
If that's the case, you have to go play back way back, and then you wonder where they have been hiding all this time.
But that's the point, though. That's the point, because you can bring them. They have been around for centuries. That's what I'm trying to say, Kai, is that the mutants have been around for centuries, even in the comics. So, I mean, the in would be that you could have used that experimentation that they were hybrids from the Celestials, but instead now we have just robots, which is kind of lame. So now what they tried to do, instead of it being more spiritual, what the Eternals were in when they originally started, it's more scientific now. So, and it's weird that they would take out one of the coolest scientific parts, because if they're gods, they don't need to make robots. They can do it. You know, well, then again, to be fair, they can do whatever they want. So, sure. But yeah, I felt it was weird. I felt it was really weird. I thought getting back to the point, I thought the movie overall had some decent parts to it. Major Grump is absolutely right as well. Thank you for joining us on Twitch. It's possible now because of Loki's ending. Yes, I agree with you, but here's my only thing. Are we going to see a merging of what's being shown on Disney Plus and the MCU, the cinematic universe? I don't know. I would like to know, but I don't think so. I don't know, because you're right. If that is the case, and maybe this is the case, maybe this is something that we're thinking about, maybe the cinematic universe isn't for the X-Men. Maybe they're for just Disney Plus, and maybe never the twain shall meet. Who knows? I don't know, but you're right.
I think it will.
But you're right, Rob. I think you're absolutely right. I will say this in closing, because I don't want to give too much away, because I've already given away too much already. I do want you to know that the Eternals was, in my opinion, an experiment in an experiment of storytelling that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has never seen before. And I think that it was incredibly unsuccessful. And I mean that as in, like, I like the ideas that were put in there, some of them, not all of them. I think it was just, unfortunately, it's a very mixed bag. I thought that the actors themselves were incredibly one note, especially oh, yeah. Gemma Chan, who played Circe. Number one, she had no emotional, and she there was not. And remember, these are people that these are Eternals that have been around for centuries, learning to be human. But there was no emotion in any of their faces. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Really, there's no, with the exception of Kingo, played by Kumail Nanjiani, who actually had a little character to him. So I don't know. I thought that the main character, Gemma Chan, she was kind of. And she didn't have she didn't resonate with me, because there was no character in her. You know what I'm saying? It's like there was nothing. I didn't root for her, because you know, she never endeared herself to the audience in my opinion. So that's what I felt about her. For Circe, that's, by the way.
I felt that for most of the cast. Yeah. It just felt like there was nothing there for it.
Yeah, I agree. I completely and utterly agree with you on that. It's hard for me to pinpoint what is successful in this film, because there are. I will say that I can't remember her name, the actress's name, and I can't even remember the name of her character. But the girl, the deaf girl in the film, was great. What is it?
Oh shoots! It wasn't Pixie.
No, it wasn't Pixie. Not. Not Sprite. Not Sprite. The other girl, deaf girl, not Sprite. Sprite was actually pretty good. To be fair, Sprite's performance was actually pretty good. Makari. Thank you, Richard. Makari. I thought Makari was done pretty well. Makari. I guess my question is this. And if the Celestials are making these robots, how is it possible that a robot is deaf?
I don't even know.
You know what I mean? One. Like, there's just some things that don't. I mean, if you're gonna change the lore, you know, in some respects, if you have a human hybrid, right? If they actually went with the comics, that would be possible with a human hybrid. That yes, she could be deaf because of the splicing of the genes and blah 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 blah, right? But in this, if she's a robot, how is it that she's deaf? Did they not? Does that mean that they, number one, did they make a mistake, or did they purposely leave her deaf? You know, it just, there are just things that does that don't make sense, at least in my estimation. I could be wrong, but to be fair, I thought Makari was great. I thought she was one of the best characters.
I don't care.
Major Gromp is absolutely right. Overwatch lore. that's a good point. Oh, you mean what's his name? Cole Cassidy. Yeah. Did you know Overwatch did a little event about Cole Cassidy because of the name change? It's freaking hilarious. But we don't have time to get into that. Now, big shout out to Kathy who's in the chat. Hello, Kathy. Aloha. Now, I will say this. Even though Eternals was a mixed bag, really think they're going to have to hit a home run with the next Marvel cinematic movie. Because what's next on the list isn't necessarily a Marvel Disney film, but the next movie is a Spider-Man movie from Marvel Sony. So, and that's coming out in December, I believe.
Yep.
So I will say this. I almost feel as if this, I don't think, in my opinion, that the Eternals is going to resonate with the Marvel fan base. By the way, before I forget to mention this, the costumes, the suits for the Eternals were awful. I hated them.
They look like Power Rangers.
It was garbage. I hated every single one of them. Didn't like it at all. I was incredibly disappointed by them. I didn't think that they had any character to them, and they were just bleh.
Selma Hynek's uniform looks so bland.
Yeah, it was very bland. I will say this too, though. I mean, speaking of actresses, Angelina Jolie's character Thena was interesting because she very much was on the sideline of the film the whole time. And what was interesting to me was, as someone as dynamic as Angelina Jolie is as an actress, the fact that she was sidelined as much as she was interesting. It was an interesting thing to do to her, you know, because she can be quite a dynamic actress, and it seemed like she was sidelined, didn't have a lot of lines. She had a few lines here and there, but nothing much. She if she wasn't fighting, she was just sitting there doing nothing. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she was just pretty much a sideline character.
She was a total sideline character. She did nothing, and that's Angelina Jolie, and she's in some estimation, she's a pretty bankable star, right? So to not use her to full effect was a little weird for me. Some of the other surprises that we could talk about. Richard says all I could think about was that the last shot and how much they need to do Galactus. Yeah, that's a good point. It would have been cooler if they actually did Galactus instead of that celestial they did. Speaking of that, before we get off of the Eternals, let's talk about the two things that have made this movie, I guess you could say, infamous and or controversial or breaking new ground. Number one. In this movie, they have the first ever sex scene in a Marvel film. Okay? Now,
do we really need to talk about this?
Okay, I'm going
to
tell you something right now. For all of the big deal that is being made about this, it made no sense.
Yes, thank you.
It made zero sense. Okay? None whatsoever. Okay?
It felt so weird.
It not only did it feel weird, but the fact is that if they're robots, right? If they're robots, what interest would the Celestials have in making them anatomically correct and having functioning sex organs? It doesn't make sense. That was stupid. Okay? Dumb.
It would have made more sense if they were
If they were actually human hybrids, it would make sense. So it made no sense. Zero to me. It just it that was dumb. So all of this talk about the first sex scene in Marvel and the love between one another. Number one, I never felt the love between these two people because it never had time to percolate, first of all. Secondly, I felt the sex scene was dumb because, like Joel says in the chat, it's sex bot stuff. That's what it is. And it just doesn't make any sense, and there's nothing resounding about that. That didn't make sense. Number two, of course, the other big thing was that they had the first ever gay kiss in a Marvel movie. And number two, that made very little sense. Because understanding that they feel love, right? Okay. But also knowing that they have human emotions, and also knowing that they shouldn't interfere, wouldn't loving a human be interfering with their life? You know, you understand what I mean? It doesn't make sense. So the gay kiss was not that big a deal. It is a big deal in some Middle Eastern countries because they're banning it, because it was the gay kiss was between Brian Tyree Henry, Fastos. I'm just kidding. And a gentleman of Middle Eastern descent, and the people in the Middle East ain't gonna have that. So the movie got banned. But anyway, yeah. The point of this is that those two things made zero sense, right? At least to me, it may especially since they're not human. You know what I mean? That just bugs me. So I thought that the quote unquote stunts that were in the movie, from the sex to the gay kiss, they were stunts. There was nothing meaningful about it. They were just stunts in the film that just, for me, just totally, it's all throwaway. Let's put it this way: if they ever want to release it in other countries, they could just cut that stuff out. Literally, yeah, cut that stuff out. That's what they want to do in the first place. Since they're brave enough to release it here, but not brave enough to release it in other countries that don't think too highly of those that are in same-sex relationships or sex on screen, they're more than happy to put it out here, but cut it to make more money in those countries to placate them. Catch what I'm saying? So yeah. Joel's right. SJW scenes, absolutely right.
Honestly,
okay, so Kathy said she didn't get a chance to see it, and she got sick. Oh, I hope you're okay. I hope you're well. I hope it wasn't COVID, number one, and I hope you're doing better than you were. Let me tell you something. Let me put the final. See, and you're right. To be fair, Richard's right. Who's to say how or what the robots are even made of? You're correct, but there is no. And here's what I'm saying in that respect: that if they are robots, right? There's no need to make functioning sex organs because they're not mating to multiply, right? The Eternals are subservient to the Celestials, so it doesn't make sense to have them have human feelings. Number one, if they're just automatons, it makes no sense for them to have sex organs because there's no need for them to have sex because they're automatons to the Celestials. They're just servants to the Celestials, which bothers me a lot. Kathy's 100% right. Are robots even a gender in 2021? They certainly should as hell might be. I don't know.
I mean, have you seen Twitter? There's 100+ genders on there.
So all I'm saying is that ultimately there are things that didn't make sense. There are things that worked, I thought, and I really wish I could go over those in some respects, but I have forgotten so much about this movie in the last week that
it feels like that,
you know, and so because it's not that it's bad, it's just, and I think that's the biggest problem for me, with the film. Two big secrets, and then we'll get off of the Eternals, no pun intended. Two big secrets. If you have not watched it, big spoiler alert. If you guys love If you guys love post-credit scenes, there's actually some pretty decent... That's one thing I like. Post-credit scenes were very interesting. Mm-hmm. Especially... Richard, you're right. Right. Physical intimacy can be more than just... you're right. It can be. But if you were talking in the respect of a celestial who's a god and an angel who is subservient to God, there is no need for those subservient quote-unquote eternals to have sex with one another because it serves no purpose to the celestial because they are not procreating. And one of the things we know in the movie, the more humans there are on the planet, the better it is for the celestials and the birth of a new one, correct? That was the point.
See, and that's my part. That's my problem too about this.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know where you're going with this, and dang it, I want to get to those post credit scenes. But you're right, and I'll bring this up. It makes, and here's what happens: they try to, and this is one of the most important things, and I can't believe I almost glossed over it. They tried to make the point as to why the Eternals that have been here for thousands and thousands of years didn't involve themselves when Thanos was on the Earth, right?
Yeah.
The excuse that was made was this, is that they were told not to. Let me tell you something. That excuse was garbage.
And it was piss poor.
It was horrible, and let me tell you why. Because in the lore that they're exploring in this new film, the Celestials need more and more humans on the planet in order for the emergence or the birth of a new Celestial. So the more population, the better. And according to the Celestials, that was their plan. Now, when Thanos came about, right?
Yeah.
Thanos comes about, and he is going to destroy half of the planet with the snap of a finger. Now, here's the biggest problem with that. Problem is that the moment, and this is why the excuse makes no sense to me. The excuse makes zero sense. The Eternals not coming to help the Avengers makes no sense because it goes against the Celestials' plan. And if the plan was that the new Celestial that was picked for birth on Earth, and it was going to come into, direct conflict with what the Celestials was going to do, the Celestial would have done anything and everything to avoid that from happening, because he knows that. We understand in the film, he makes the inference that they weren't supposed to interfere into human conflict, right? That's what they say, human conflict. He knows, as someone who's a Celestial, that those humans, the majority of those humans, are anything but prepared for what Thanos is. Because as most people know, the Celestials know exactly who Thanos is. So what I'm saying is that when you say that they were told not to interfere when Thanos was on the Earth, it makes no sense. It makes zero sense to me, because I tell you what, the Eternals would have been sent by the Celestials to help get Thanos off the Earth because it is in direct conflict with what the Celestials' plan was, period. He would not have left it to chance. He would not have left it to these humans that he cares nothing about. He would have sent down the Eternals to do something about it. Am I wrong?
You would think they would plan this properly, but I don't feel like they did.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. These things do not make sense in this Eternals film. It makes no sense. So, once again, That's one that stuck in my craw. When they said, he said not to interfere in human conflict, which to be fair, they didn't, right? They didn't. Yeah. They show that they didn't interfere in human conflict. They didn't interfere. They showed pictures of Hiroshima. They showed pictures of the Spanish conquistadors coming to Mexico. They showed these things and the destruction that was made and history happening, right? But all of a sudden, now, when you have a cosmic power coming to the Earth to destroy half the population, like, it just doesn't... For the Celestials and the Eternals not to get involved makes no sense whatsoever. Zero.
It's not just that planet itself. It was all across the universe.
Correct. It was, so, exactly. Wait. And it was across the universe. You're correct. Absolutely.
So wouldn't this make Thanos the good guy now?
In some respects, and think about that, you're absolutely right. Because if he were to snap his fingers and get rid of... And this wasn't just for the Earth. It was half the universe, right? That was the whole point. So that even makes it more so worse. Because it would have interfered in the making of... thousands of Celestials, right? So it doesn't make sense. It makes no sense to me. And I think that if it wasn't just the Earth, it was everywhere else, and they were going to destroy half of the universe, you don't think the Celestials would have stepped in? Like, this is absolutely poor planning. You're absolutely right, Kai. This seems like absolute poor planning on the part of Marvel, because there's just things that don't make any sense. The Celestials, and by the way, we only see one in this movie, but there are hundreds more. Do you not think any of them would have sent their Eternals? Because these Eternals are not just the Earth Eternals. You get what I'm saying? There's other Eternals on other planets. So, because they're watching over the species of that planet. So, don't you think if this one guy was going to take out half the Earth... or half the universe, that not just the Celestials we see in our movie, but all the other Celestials would have come in and wiped Thanos out?
You would think.
You would think so.
You would think that the Celestials would look and say, hey, Earth is starting to get way too much Infinity Stones on one planet.
Richard is absolutely right. Thanos wasn't a cosmic threat until he got the stones. But when he did get the stones, right? This is my point. My point is that when he did get the stones, he was a threat. And at that moment, he would have dispatched the Eternals. Every single Celestial would have dispatched the Eternals, 100%. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, they would have, because the Celestials, they are the supreme being, so they know everything. They would have stopped him from getting the stones in the first place.
You would think they'll move the stones elsewhere.
Right, so... And so this is what these are the problems. And I understand that this isn't the comics. I understand that this is a cinematic universe. So I'm basing this essentially on the cinematic universe and the lore that they are changing and creating for us. And I don't think it makes sense from a cinematic perspective of what they've given us in this movie. So and once again, I don't think this movie is bad. It's just forgettable. And that's the thing, and that's one of the other things that stuck in my craw. But on a positive note, Kathy's right, it sounds like a crap show. She's 100% right, it kind of is. The biggest surprises were this. We got to see One Direction. Kai, one of your favorite boy bands, right?
No, excuse me, not
One Direction. We got to see Harry Styles. Harry Styles was in this film in the mid-credit scene, and he was playing an Eternal himself, the brother of Thanos, Eros.
Star Fox.
Eros. It's who he is. It's Star Fox. It's Eros. I know. Here's the problem. Eros, of course, if you don't know in the comics, Eros' power is pleasure. So he has the power of pleasure. I'm curious how Eros will be moving forward in a PG-13 Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm dying to see how that is going to work. Kathy, you're right. Yes, Harry Styles is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He is Eros. He is the... You're absolutely right.
We need to also talk about the person next to Harry Styles, next to Eros.
Next to Eros was Pip. Pip, of course.
Was that Patton Oswalt?
Yes, Patton Oswalt was the voice of Pip.
He was
the voice of Pip.
He seems like he plays a lot of these characters now these days.
Now, all right. I'm gonna address Richard's next comment momentarily, but I will give away the other secret that was in the film. Two things. Number one, in this film, there's a reveal at the stinger at the end of the movie that Cersei's human boyfriend is also a superhero, Mr. Whitman himself. Mr. Whitman, of course, is in the end credit scene. We see he walks into his quarters. It's a big box, big like a big rectangular box. He opens it, and within this box is a sword, and this sword seems to be living, or there is life to it as he touches it. And as you know, Mr. Whitman in the Eternals and from the comics is the Black Knight. And in the film, itself, off screen and off camera, we hear someone say, "Mr. Whitman, do you think that's a good idea?" And then it ends. And from most reports, according to Marvel themselves, I thought that was Samuel L. Jackson. Well, it's Marshiala Ali, and it's Blade. So, very cool. I kind of like that. Very interesting. That was the best parts of the movie.
That was only Dan liked.
Richard's right. He says, "You're forgetting that Celestials are not the ones above all or even the same level as the Living Tribunal or any other top-level big deity in the Marvel Universe." No, I agree with that. I completely understand. That's why I prefaced what I said with, they're crafting a cinematic universe. You're absolutely, what I'm talking about, you're absolutely right. From a comic perspective, you're 100% correct. What I'm saying is that right now, when we're looking at the Eternals as this new, it's almost like they're forming a new Avengers, right? Or they're Gen 2 Avengers, correct? So what I'm saying is what we're given here in the cinematic universe right now is that the Celestials are the end-all be-all, at least for now. And it just these things don't make sense. That's what I'm talking about. And so for Marvel to make the inference in the film to actually they could have just left it alone, right? But they didn't. For them to even say something like, "Oh well, we're gonna have to put in like a 2-second line to say why the Celestials or why the Eternals didn't help take Thanos out," they had to put that in there because if this universe, the cinematic universe, is symbiotic, we need to know something. So as of now, I'm saying that all, you're right, that all could change. 100%, that all could change in later films. But if what we're given now, if the Celestials are the supreme beings in this Marvel cinematic universe, which it seems like they are, these things don't make sense. And you're right, you're absolutely right. These Celestials could just be the functionaries. You're 100% correct. So, Joel says something interesting. "I don't believe that there will be an Eternals 2. Joel, I hate to tell you that according to the credits, the Eternals will return. All right? So, I'm going to tell you something. I will say this. I actually think it would be a good idea to have another Eternals movie. You know, to build on whatever they got. So, right. You're right. Kathy's 100% right. And in my opinion, I think Kathy's 100% right. Seems they're building a new universe for the new generation. Did I say this off air to you, Harry? I almost called you Harry Styles. did I say this to you, Kai? I looked at the picture because you kind of look like Harry Styles in your picture. The canon for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Gen 1 has been closed in some respects, right? Like I said earlier, I think I said it earlier. That's done. We're passing the torches off. Captain America's retired. Iron Man is dead. Spoiler. And of course, the new generation of heroes. Hawkeye. Of course, Spider-Man. Morbius. Maybe Morbius, maybe not. But the whole
we can get the Young Avengers right now.
So essentially, we're getting Gen 2. Richard in chat says, "Almost like Feige is trying to give us big bads and stages and levels. You're always gonna need something that's bigger, a bigger threat, if you want to keep the MCU going for another couple decades," which is true in some respects. But you see, they did open the door to the cosmic, so there are so many stories you can tell in the cosmic Marvel universe that, you know, if you're trying to connect the cosmic with what's going on Earth from the cinematic universe perspective, it's gonna be rough. And once again, this and here's the only, I doubt it's going to change much, but this could all change when we finally see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, because we're going to address multiverses. So, I mean, we're going to address multiverses in the new Spider-Man film, but I'm not taking that as canon for the Marvel Cinematic Universe because they're different. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Is that fair? Okay, that's fair.
I mean, when Multiverse of Madness happens, we could get the introduction of the mutants and other characters too.
Yeah, I agree.
So
Richard is absolutely right. That's the funny thing. Richard, if they had just done that right there, he said, I just want the Thanos-Deadpool death-love triangle. If they had actually acknowledged that here, it actually probably would have made more sense in some respects. I mean, at least with Thanos and Death, Lady Death would have made sense. It probably would have made a lot more sense from that perspective. But of course, that's less sciencey the way the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going, and more spiritual. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But the Thanos and Lady Death thing definitely could have been addressed, and Lady Death was not in it. So it's I think they did drop the ball on that 100%.
She could have been brought in, and then we would have already begun the cosmic universe.
Bingo. Absolutely. Kathy says, I'm sure they're going to show in a future movie they invaded the Marvel Universe. Yeah, which is probably the case. Joel says, do you think they will do a Fantastic Four? The Fantastic Four movie is already in the works, in the pre-production stages, if I'm not mistaken. They've already said that they were going to make one, so I think that is going to be the case.
This is obvious for Disney. It's the first family of superheroes.
Right.
This is right up Disney's alley.
I agree, Kai. That's 100% correct. I think that's the first family of Marvel is now the first comic book family of Disney. Disney Marvel. You're right. This is perfect. This is perfect fertile ground for that. So it makes complete sense to me. I think you're 100% correct. I would say ultimately, as kind of putting the lid on the Eternals, I give that thing about a two and a half out of five star review. I thought it was a mixed bag. There was some good stuff, more bad than good. Story was a bit convoluted. I like the chances they took on being more reflective and introspective in their characters. I will say that there are a lot of people that are going to walk into this movie and not like it because there are long stretches of talking.
Yeah, I kind of started snoozing on it a little bit.
There are long stretches of talking that if you're not interested in that, which I am, which some people won't be, this isn't your typical Marvel film. So I don't think that the casual Marvel fan, Marvel movie fan, is going to gravitate to this movie. And I will say this, that I think it'd be better if you just wait till this is on Disney Plus. If you have to pay for it, don't bother. So it's super disappointing. Yeah. What would you give it, Kai?
Like a star ratings?
Yeah.
Like
a star ratings.
From 1 to 10, I'd give this a 5 at best.
1 to 10? Wow. 5? That's pretty great. Yeah, Kathy, I think you'll be a lot better if you wait. You'll feel a lot better. But you know why? And here's why. And I very rarely say this because I like watching movies at the theater. But I do think that there are certain experiences that are better at home. And this is great because what you can do with the Eternals is that you can pause it and you can go to the bathroom, grab something from the fridge, come back to it, things of that nature. I think that it's one of those things where, oh, good. Kathy loves movies too. Sweet. I'm a guy. I've said this before on the shows, and I think that I still think it holds true. There are some films that work better on the smaller screen at home than on the big screen at the theater. I will give you an example. Number one would be Eternals, but I'll give you another one. I hated the movie Meg on the big screen. I thought it was garbage. Hated it. When I watched it at home, a lot more fun. My expectations were lowered, and I could actually get behind the ridiculous that was Meg and the silliness that Meg was. So
the
there
giant
were,
shark movie.
Correct.
That was
and
it.
There were right, exactly. Kathy's right. Or fast forward. You're right. Yeah. You could do that. I'll be honest with you, I have never as a film critic and as a movie aficionado, I've never done that before. I've watched a movie from start to finish. I've never fast-forwarded a movie before, and I've heard people do that, and I'm like, how do you do that? I can't. I always think I'm going to miss something. That's the only time I have that's the only time I ever have FOMO is when I watch movies. Like, I'm never fast-forwarding it because I fear I'm missing out on something. So yeah, I never do that. This is a great movie for Disney Plus. This is a great movie when it comes out in like a month. I think you're going to be able to rent on demand. Then do that. 100%. That's worth it. Don't. Kathy said, "So I did on a Serbian film." Listen, Kathy. Watching Serbian film once is already too much. Never, ever, ever, ever again. No, sir. No, you did not spell that right. It's Serbian. But yeah, never again. Never, ever, ever again. Serbian film is. Once is way too much. It wasn't even good. It was trying to be outlandish to be outlandish, trying to be gross to be gross, and I just anyway. Don't get me started. Me and Gannon could have a show about that. It's crazy. It's not good.
Whenever Gannon comes back.
See, Kathy says yes, F that. I couldn't. Yeah, frick that. I agree. Once is too much. Don't even bother. Oh man. Anyway, do yourself a favor. Wait for Eternals. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how much more you'll like it when it's on screen at home as opposed to the movie theater. Now, we are waiting because in just over a week, Kai, Foreman, and myself will be watching Ghostbusters Afterlife. I am so excited. That is the movie that I have been waiting for years. Super, super excited. Ghostbusters Afterlife comes out on the 18th. I'm very excited to watch it. We'll have a report on that the following Nerd Watch. Super excited for that. This Thursday, though, is the premiere of a film that I'm not going to see because it's going to come out in theaters for one night and then be on demand on Friday. And that is the director's cut of Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago. That comes out this Thursday as well. I'm very excited to watch that. I will definitely own that, and I'm very excited to see how Rocky IV, the director's cut, is going to be. He added like 45 minutes of the extra footage. It's crazy. So that's what I'm saying. It's a lot. So anyway, Ghostbusters Afterlife will have. That's the next big movie on our docket right before Thanksgiving. Super excited to watch it. I'm super 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 stoked to see it. I haven't seen a good Ghostbusters movie since Ghostbusters 2. All right. So that's good.
Again, I don't even think we need a Ghostbuster movie. We didn't need 2016 either.
We didn't need the Ghostbuster 2016 movie. 100% correct. That movie is sacrilege. I don't believe it exists. But yet, because I'm a completionist and I'm disgusted with myself, I own it. So
you're just like torturing yourself.
Yeah, I do. I'm a completionist, and that's my downfall. I have many faults, and that's just one of them. Anyway, Kai,
what?
We don't have much time left. We're gonna get into some new releases. We're gonna get into. Let me get into a couple of quick stories. When it comes to
rapid fire, let's do this.
Let's do some rapid fire stuff really quick here. Interesting.
Kind of slow for rapid fire.
Well, yeah. Well, so much for rapid fire. No. I was trying to think that there was a movie that I wanted to see, but I haven't got to see it yet. By the way, while I'm getting these stories ready to go, Last Night in Soho. That was a movie that I wanted to see, the new Edgar Wright movie. I heard it was fantastic. So when I have a chance, I'm going to go watch that too. I'm very, very stoked about that. I cannot wait for that.
I'm actually wanting to watch that too.
Yeah, I do too. That looks very, very good. There is a couple of things I wanted to talk about. First off, when it comes to, if you didn't know this by now, when it comes to this quickfire news, out on Netflix is the new League of Legends animated series called Arcane. And
I can detest this is good.
I hate League of Losers or Losers of Legends.
Screw you.
I hate that game. I think it sucks, and I think the players that play it are horrible
basement, save my face.
Basement dwelling. Panty sniffers. Anyway, what? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I gotta hate you now.
I will say this: Arcane is out, and the only reason why I mentioned it for anybody is because I think it's interesting because the animation is a very different direction for me, and it looks very good. To be fair. Yeah, so I'm on board for that. I will check that out. I will give it a fair shake, even though the game sucks. So the game is awful, and it wastes your time. It wastes your money. It's garbage. Don't even bother.
You just sore because you got beaten so many times.
Speaking of Netflix, I only do this next story in rapid fire because Kai's here. If it wasn't for Kai, I wouldn't even mention it because I think this is garbage. Netflix has announced the cast for its upcoming live action series adaptation of One Piece. The show is based on the anime series and manga, which was created by Eiichiro Oda, who is an executive producer on the show. The story centers on Luffy, a young man who embarks on a journey to become king of the pirates. I like to call him Luffy because he's fluffy and find the celebrated One Piece treasure. So far, the cast for the show includes Inaki Godoy as Monkey D. Luffy, Mac Kenyu, Emily Rudd and Jacob Romero Gibson as Usopp, and Taz Skyler as Sanji. So, yeah. Eiichiro Oda said in a statement, "We've been working with Netflix and Tomorrow Studios on the massive project that is the Hollywood live-action series adaptation of One Piece." This is my favorite question of the whole of the entire interview. How many years has it been since it was announced, right? I know. How many years do you have? I think you'll be dead by the time you reach like season 6. Okay? Because it lasts so long. The animation is garbage. The story may be decent, but it's just so you can't even get into the show if you haven't been in from it since day one.
Okay, wait. You can get into a show, and I will admit the animation is garbage. But then again, it's a long-running series, and they try to stretch it out as much as possible with a bunch of fillers here and there. Mm-hmm. But that's all it gets into the later end of the series. The only problem is no one really asked for a live-action series. It just seems that Netflix wants to take the shot at it. And if you actually look, Netflix has a catalog of other series that they want to do live-action.
Yeah, it's true. We saw
the images for a live-action Gundam series. Movie, I'm sorry. We saw
images. It's the GoBots one, right?
Screw you. We also saw images for them saying that they want to do a live-action Yu Yu Hakusho, which I'm kind of terrified because I don't really care for them to do a live-action. Like, we have there's already some older live-action movies of these series, but then it's like, we don't really need them. Like, well, if anything, there's a whole bunch of other things they can do, but they're choosing this because, again, anime is hot. Media coming out of Japan is what's selling right now, and that's
to be fair, Netflix is jumping on a hot commodity, which is manga.
Manga. No, it's not just manga. It's a bunch of different series. Like, well, they're scooping a lot left and right.
Here is once again the biggest joke of this whole article: the One Piece series will consist of 10 episodes. Ha! 10 episodes. Ha! What is that? That's like one episode of the One Piece animated series.
I think they're going to do is basically they're going to do the whole East Blue Saga in one series.
What the? Cuz that sounded gross. What did you just say?
The East Blue Saga. So that's the
East Blue, or did you say East Blue? What did you say?
East Blue.
East Blue as in EAST blue?
Yeah, all right, like got the Eastern Sea, the Blue Sea.
Is that some significant portion of the One Piece universe? Well,
it's the beginning of the journey for the the crew. It's the original five that he gathered before leaving that sea to go to the Grand Line. That's where I think they're going. The only problem is there's one particular arc in that saga, which is called Arlong Park, which I'm curious how they're going to do the Fishman Pirates.
Well,
and that's why I'm a little worried.
I already can't wait not to watch this.
I know you're not going to watch this because you're not going
to
care.
Yeah, I can't wait not to watch it. Speaking of things I did not want to watch, Kathy says she just watched Old. That's the new M. Night Shyamalan movie. I have not seen it yet. Was it good, number one? Number two, is it worth my time? Because I have not watched it yet. I've been, you know what I was waiting for to watch Old? I was actually waiting for a Black Friday sale on like iTunes or something, and then I'd get it for like $10. That's what I was waiting for. Kathy says it was different. All right, fair enough. It was different. When you say different, different good or just different like eh? Because I mean it's two different things, for sure. 100%. So you know, if it's worth my time, I definitely want to watch it, and then I'll get back to you. I want to check it out. Richard says maybe Netflix could get on doing that live action Robotech. Ugh, another show that I think is so overrated.
Macross.
Yeah, Macross. Yeah, sounds like you're throwing up when you say that. Macross. Yeah, so it sounds like you're puking. Joel's right. They're doing Cowboy Bebop. So this
which is coming out
pretty soon, and the door is open. You're right, the door is open. Kathy says Old is. She said like wait for the DVD. I will. I think I'm just waiting. All right, dang it. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's Unbreakable or anything. One of the best comic book M. Night Shyamalan movies like ever.
Stop it.
It is. Unbreakable's a great show. Oh, and has a. Oh, Kathy says it's got a twisted ending. All right, now you've.
Well, M. Night Shyamalan has a twist on everything.
Yeah, yeah, you've piqued my interest, Kathy. You've piqued my interest. Last on the quickfire, the quickfire news for today. After over 20 years, Ridley Scott is going to direct a sequel to Gladiator. The first film never really needed a sequel, and it was a great standalone story. But Scott seems eager to continue that story he started. During a recent interview on the Zoe Ball Breakfast Show, whatever the hell that is, the filmmaker addressed Gladiator 2, saying, "How could I not do that? It would be critically stupid of me not to do that, wouldn't it?" Scott is going to start work in the sequel as soon as he's finished shooting his Napoleon movie, Kitbag, with Jodie Comer and Joaquin Phoenix. As for the story that the sequel might tell, producer Walter F. Parks previously said that the story for the sequel would pick up 30 years later, 25 years later. What the hell does that mean? Three decades after the death of Russell Crowe's character Maximus. Well, you know, what's funny is that if you were actually to cast Russell Crowe as Maximus in this movie, it would fit perfectly because he's not the same Russell Crowe that he was in Gladiator now. He's very different. So just go watch his. Just go watch who he is in that movie, that road rage movie he did. Remember what's it called? Can't remember the name of that road rage movie he did.
Because it was forgettable.
It was actually kind of good. But anyway. So with Maximus not being a part of the sequel, it's been reported that the sequel could follow the continuing story of Lucius, the son of Lucia. The youth was the nephew of Commodus, the weaselly son of Roman leader Marcus Aurelius, who murdered his father, seized the throne, and wound up in the gladiator ring with Maximus, who, though mortally wounded, skewered the emperor before fading into the great beyond to reunite with his slain wife and son. Maximus saved the boy and his mother while avenging his own family and left a strong impression on the young Lucius. Well, now there's no need for you to watch Gladiator if you've never seen it before. I just gave you the whole story right there. But yeah, no, Gladiator is a great movie.
Still go watch it. It was still a good movie.
Well, you know, Ridley Scott has the House of Gucci. That's next on his agenda. Then he's got that Napoleon movie, Kitbag, which is interesting. And then, of course, we got a while yet before we see Gladiator 2. So, anyway, as you all know, I'm going to get into some Blu-rays and DVDs for the week. Got just a few minutes left here. Blu-rays and DVDs coming up. But I wanted to let you guys know it is a huge, huge week for gaming. As you all know, first off, we got the brand new Call of Duty Vanguard this week, or last week, I should say. But we also, this week, we got Forza Horizon 5. I have played more Forza Horizon 5 than Call of Duty Vanguard. Now, Call of Duty Vanguard has been pretty impressive if you are a Call of Duty fan. It's got some issues. I'm sure they'll work it out with patches and things of that nature. Time to kill is way too fast, in my opinion. But If you are anywhere, someone who fancies themselves as a casual car gaming fan, Forza Horizon 5 is fantastic. I have put more hours into Forza Horizon 5 in the last few days that I've owned it than any other game so quickly. I've got like 20 hours into it. It's crazy. I've completed a lot of the map. I'm like level 75 already. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Anyway, Forza Horizon 5 is a continuing saga in the Playground game series. If you love to have fun with racing games where they're not taking too seriously and it's about the passion of the vehicle that you're driving and how you drive it, Forza Horizon 5 is the way to go. I think Forza Horizon 5 is incredibly relaxing and enjoyable to play, and that's why I put so many hours into it. I think it's worth every penny. You should check it out. It's fantastic. The graphics are wonderful. The handling of the game is wonderful. Forza Horizon 5 is one of my favorite games this year so far, and I don't know if anything can top it. Next week, though, Battlefield is coming out. Battlefield 2042. So we'll talk about that. Kai, you're getting ready for it, aren't you? You got an Xbox, baby. You're ready, right?
Yeah. I'm all set. It's just that I was trying to avoid Call of Duty as much as possible. I did not want to go back down that rabbit hole.
You're going to have to download Warzone. It's free anyway, so we can start playing that. The new map is coming out in December. Yes, you are, because you're going to see us playing it, and then you're not going to be playing it to play. So just download the damn thing.
I'll just play another game. Play Guardians. Okay. Hey, to be fair,
The Guardians of the Galaxy game is actually very good. I agree, 100%. The graphics are fantastic. That's actually one of the best games of the year as well. For people that say single player games are dead, games like this will make it where single player games are not gonna die. They actually did right by the Marvel Universe by giving us Guardians of the Galaxy, the game. It's very well done. Definitely better than that Avengers crap they gave us last year.
So much better.
Yeah, way better. 100% better. So,
and I love the different character designs for like the costumes.
Yeah. Everything looks great. It looks great. The story's actually very good, and I'm not too much for story in games. I just like to play because I have a limited amount of time. Far Cry 6 right now is really good. We got to get back into that, by the way. Kai, we got to start playing that again. Anyway, that is it. Hey, Kathy's out of here. Sorry, guys. I work early tomorrow. All right, Kathy. Well, you take care. I will see you next week. It's 10:30 in Vegas. Your day starts early. I thought like you worked at night in Vegas, because I guess Vegas doesn't sleep either, does it? Like, it's kind of like New York. Man, that must be crazy. Well, thanks, Kathy, for coming around. We certainly do appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Always love having you here, Kathy. It's always a joy having you here. So we'll see you next week. Sweet. Anyway. All right. Kathy says, yeah, lol. Fair enough. All right. Boys and girls. Or boys and girl, because now she's leaving. Or just boys, because she's leaving. Thank you. I'll take those kisses any day. Kai, those are much better than yours.
I don't even kiss you. I don't want you to talk about it.
You tried, but I said no.
No.
I said no. You respected my space. No, I'm just kidding.
You need to stop applying weird things, man. You're making a lot of problems.
Am I making it weird?
You are.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it weird.
Come on. All right, wrap this up already.
Nah, it's totally weird. All right, let's wrap this puppy up. All right. Let's get to it, shall we? Every single Tuesday, of course, is new Blu-ray releases. And even though it's Wednesday, it's time to pick up some Blu-rays. Okay? First off, coming out on Blu-ray today in 4K. Well worth your time and your money. The Outsiders, the complete edition is out, or the complete novel, excuse me, is out on 4K today. If you have never seen The Outsiders, it's directed by Francis Ford Coppola. It stars Patrick Swayze. Of course, it stars Emilio Estevez and Rob Lowe and C. Thomas Howell, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, and of course, a very young Tom Cruise as well. The Outsiders is based on the book by S.E. Hinton. And if you've never seen The Outsiders before, it is an incredible movie. And the complete novel, or the director's cut, is fantastic. So I would highly, highly recommend The Outsiders, the complete novel, to you. It's definitely a must-buy for anybody. It's classic filmmaking, and it's a classic film. Have you ever seen that, Kai?
Nope.
Oh, it's good. You should definitely check it out. Also on Blu-ray today, ironically, I thought this was already out. Maybe this is just a re-release from Paramount Pictures. But a very underrated sci-fi film from Ivan Reitman, starring David Duchovny, Julianne Moore, Orlando Jones, and Sean William Scott. Evolution is out. I think Evolution is a great film. I really enjoyed it. That's a fun movie. Really enjoyed it. It's like I can't believe I'm saying this. It's almost like a version. It's almost like an alien version of Ghostbusters, in some respects. Yeah, it's really good. I really liked Evolution. I thought it was a very, very well done film. So check it out if you've never seen it before. Also on Blu-ray today is L.A. Story, starring Steve Martin. Fantastic movie. Steve Martin. If you've never seen that before either, from 1991, stars Sarah Jessica Parker as well. Very good film. You should check it out. L.A. Story is off the charts. Definitely worth your time and your money. Also on Blu-ray today is Neon Genesis Evangelion, complete series, the one from 95 to 97, brought to you by Shout Factory, the complete series. Very cool. Also on Blu-ray today is a film that, if you've never seen it before, it's from the Warner Archives Collection from 1973. It's called The Last Sheila. All I'm going to say is this. How can I put this? You guys got to look it up for yourself. Just look it up. It's called The Last Sheila. It's interesting. Nonetheless, it's from 1973. It's written by Stephen Sondheim. You know the guy who did Phantom of the Opera? Cats? It's weird. It's interesting. Anyway, check it out. Also on 4K Blu-ray, Batman Year One is out on 4K Blu-ray today. Also on 4K Blu-ray today is a film by Hugh Jackman that was on HBO Max this past few months. Reminiscence with Hugh Jackman and Rebecca Ferguson. That's out on 4K Blu-ray today. Also, if you're looking for it, Legends of Tomorrow, complete sixth season, is out on Blu-ray today as well. Also on Blu-ray today is the first season of the TNT show Snowpiercer. That's out on Blu-ray today. Do you ever get to watch the Snowpiercer, the one about the train?
Yeah, I did. I actually liked the show.
You like the show? I like the movie. So I didn't watch the show yet. So
I think they're both good.
Okay. I'll check it out then. Here's something from my past. Doomed Megalopolis Mega Collection is out on Blu-ray today as well. Do you remember Doomed Megalopolis there, Kai, from 91-92?
I don't even think I was mentally conscious by then.
All right, well, listen, look up Doomed Megalopolis and you tell me what you think. It's an anime TV series, okay? So from Japan, and maybe you let me know what you think of that. Also on also on Blu-ray today, from Arrow Video, who bring out great special editions, Chud is out on Blu-ray today. Chud is a classic B-horror film, which I highly recommend. Stars John Hurd and Daniel Stern, you know, as in Daniel Stern from Home Alone fame. Check it out. It's a fun little B-movie horror film that is worth your time as well. Anyway, I think that about does it today. Did I miss anything on the list today, Kai? Anything else huge that you wanted to mention before we get out of here?
Nah, we can skip it tonight.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll check in with everybody next week. Next week, more movies. Next week, more comics. More Nerd Watch culture news. Things like that, of that nature. More information on the Maui Comic Con.
And some more people on the cast.
Chad Slower Brother, Chud. You're absolutely right. That's what I think it is as well. Anyway, we are out of time. Oh, shoot. Hey.
What?
Now we have to go.
I've been waiting in the backstage for like an hour.
Shut your mouth. You're such a liar.
I was like, man, is Kathy finally gone?
Everybody was very active tonight. ladies and gentlemen, better late than never. Format's in the house.
Hey.
Format, what, man, what the heck, man? Are you? Listen, we do have to go. But before we do, Format, any information that you can share? I mean, you've been busy at meetings and things of that nature. Anything?
We're getting closer and closer to the Maui Comic Con. And, that's pretty much it. We things are in full swing. We're hoping to get a great turnout this year, even with limited numbers. But we're doing what we can to make it work.
Can you name any of the special guests that are coming or anything of that nature?
Yeah, sure. Frank Cho, who's always a favorite at the cons. He's pretty much the headliner for sure. We'll also have Arkakul Johnson, who's he's actually a local creator. He will be releasing a new book at the con.
Nice.
And then the cartoonist kayfabe guys will be there, Ed Piskor and Jim Rugg.
We're gonna. Does that make us officially part of the Piskor?
I guess.
No.
No.
No. I mean.
What? I'm just asking a question. I don't know.
There are more people that are bigger fans of that group than I am. So, I mean, they're
Format. They're cool guys, I guess. What? Uh-oh.
I'm not saying they're bad or nothing. I'm just saying, like, why am I going to go read your stuff or watch your YouTube channel when, like, I could be doing my own stuff or watching my own YouTube channel?
Well, it's because it's Piskor and Rug.
Yeah, and?
Fair enough.
So?
Fair enough. All right.
It could be Rug and Piskor, and I'd be like, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's no better place to Piskor than on a rug. So it's pretty, makes perfect sense to me. You're horrible. You're a horrible person. Anyway,
it ties the whole room together.
It ties the whole room together. Format.
That's what I keep being told about the rugs.
Rug, nice. Well, listen, will you be available for us next week?
God, I hope so, because I know these meetings are going to happen until the con happens.
I thought they were on Monday, but apparently
I thought they were going to be like, you know, as we get closer and closer. Yeah. Be quicker because there's less to talk about.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, okay, we agree on this. Cool, moving on.
Right.
But it's a lot of, we agree on this. Let's discuss it.
Well, it's kind of my fault because I had to end up changing the day of the show. So that's a little bit of my fault as well. So, you know.
Yes, it is. It's totally your fault.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate
that. All of it is your fault.
All right. You can make
me. Way to go, G.
Yeah.
But nah, I don't blame you because, you know, people got to work. So it's
word. That's very, it's very true. Well, listen, format. Now, what time is it? Oh yeah, I got my next show. I got the Big Fat Nation coming up shortly. But format next week, I'd like to get your thoughts on the Eternals because we took almost like an hour talking about the Eternals.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we were mostly bashing it.
Yeah, we were. No, why? That's not. That's
a
not,
good movie.
That's not true. We weren't bashing it. I had critiques. I wasn't bashing it. I had critiques. That's all I had.
I was bashing it.
Well, I'll try to make it earlier to the pod next week.
Yeah, yeah. That would be fantastic.
You guys can listen to my glowing review and change your minds on your outlooks on said film.
Sure. Now, format tonight on the Big Fat Nation, which you can tune in on at 9 p.m. on Facebook. Big Fat Nation. Check it out.
No, I wouldn't. Facebook.com. Not going to watch those cartoonish fake kayfabe guys, why would I?
We're also going to be, by the way, we're all, a couple of things is that StreamYard updated. So I got some cool little things that we can do now with the chat and stuff and with our pictures. I can actually move us around. I didn't know we could do that before. I can move everybody around.
That's always when
that seems obvious.
I don't know why you.
It seems pretty cool.
That's brand new to you.
It's new to me. Shows you what I know. But listen, format. Yeah. We're going to be talking about Eternals tonight on the Big Fat Nation. So please chime in the comments tonight. So if you're listening, format next week will be giving his thoughts on the Eternals.
If I get here in time, Jesus, I don't know. These meetings get longer and the show seems to end earlier.
We actually went an hour and a half tonight. You go figure. We went an hour and a half. All right, not bad at all. We went an hour and a half. Anyway,
I still got here like in the last 15 minutes.
Why didn't you say anything, Kai? Did you not see him in the lobby? I didn't see him in the lobby.
You don't give me control to check the lobby.
You can check the lobby. You can't see the lobby from here.
No, I'm not showing anything.
It's under private chat. It's under private chat.
I'm not seeing anything.
You see where format says knock knock? That's
no, I'm looking at private chat. I can see comments and I see private chat. For some reason on my end, private chat is not showing.
I see comments.
Oh, you know why?
There's a lot of comments.
There's a ton of comments. We had fun tonight. You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, freaking Richard was giving me crap about Eternals and we were having a good time with that. Kathy had to go to bed early. She's throwing kisses all around this place. I'm like, geez, Louise. I was trying to catch them all. Sex robots. It was crazy. It was off the. Should we name that? Should we call it sex robots?
Banging the bots.
The kisses?
Banging the bots. Ooh. That's a good
name.
Banging
the bots is good.
Banging the bots is a good name for the show, I think.
All right.
I don't know
if anybody will understand what that is in reference to.
No, I don't think they will.
Unless you guys actually made reference to it in the show.
We actually did, and we did it just now. And I think people understand. We talked about the controversial first-time Marvel sex scene. So we did talk about that.
What?
Yeah.
There was a sex scene?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, take us home already.
All right. I'm taking it. All right. Fine. Jeez. Kai wants to get out of here.
Fine, Kai. I finally get here, and Kai's like, in the show.
In the show. All
right. I need to get off of Kai's this. The system not going to hold much longer.
Get off.
Kai's taking us home. Okay, We're out of time. Nobody's stopping you.
You
guys just talk. I'm out.
We're
man.
Out of time. So for format, for Kai Kai, IMG Money. Until next time, peace out. Much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. We'll see you back here on the Nerd Watch. Till next time, people. Aloha.